It's a basic sign of the covenant between God and the Jews. The Torah says it's always been the symbol of belonging to the Jewish people, the people of the covenant. So here's this foreskin man comic, and the efforts in San Francisco. This is not just designed, friends, to somehow protect boys from a procedure called circumcision. This is an outright expression of the final rising up and choreographing of the world against Jews and the practices of Jews under the scriptures. The same kind of thing is going to happen with regard to Christians as well. Mark my words, because that's what God foretells in His Word. Thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Get a copy of As America's Done to Israel and get it on our website, saveus.org.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Kersmeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor Billy Crone. And how do we know that what we read in the Bible is true? How do we know that the flood really took place? Certainly we read it in the Bible, and we read about Noah's Ark, and we read about it. But how do we know it's true? Is there any scientific evidence of it? Well, with us, Pastor Billy Crone, and he's going to tell us that there is lots of scientific evidence for the things you find in the Bible. I believe there's an organized, orchestrated, coordinate effort all across America, indeed all across the world, to suppress the truth that confirms the biblical story. Because the last thing the people want who control the mass media and the publishing throughout the world is for the true history of the world to be known, as it corresponds exactly with what we're told in the Holy Scriptures. And without further ado, Pastor Billy Crone, you pick up the story. Pastor Crone, go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Dr. Monty, for having me. And tonight I'm on my cell phone, so hopefully the signal stays strong. And really excited about the topic. And, you know, some of the listeners might be wondering, well, what in the world are we doing talking about Noah's Ark and things of that nature? And many times that you and I have chatted together, we deal with the Bible prophecy and things of that nature. And well, believe it or not, the flood of Noah, folks, has everything to do with Bible prophecy. And in fact, Jesus, of all accounts in the scripture that Jesus refers to about his second coming to describe what it's going to be like, he refers to the flood of Noah. In fact, let me read that text to you very quickly. Jesus simply mentions this in the book of Matthew after the classic passage where he says, these are the signs of the times. You don't know the day nor the hour. But if you want to know what's getting close, you better watch out for false prophets. That's exactly what we have today. You better watch out for false messiahs claiming that they are the Messiah or Jesus Christ himself, and that's what we have today. He says you're going to hear wars and you hear rumors of wars, and that's exactly what we see today. He says there's going to be nations rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom. We see that in the news right before our very eyes. He said there's going to be famines and earthquakes, and boy, do we have those today. He says those are the beginning of the birth pain. Now, he goes to that litany of a sign to know that it's getting close. Again, you still don't know the day nor the hour. But then, at the end of that chapter, it's like people focus on the first part, but keep reading. At the very end, he gives you a clue of the kind of society it's going to be like just before he comes back. And here's what he says in verse 38 there in that chapter. Forward, he says, 37, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, Now, that's your first clue. That's no apparent. Whatever went on in Noah's day is very apparent. Jesus, of all people he mentions in the Bible, he mentions Noah. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, which is the first judgment, and yes, folks, the second judgment is coming. He says, here's the people. People were eating and drinking, marrying, getting in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That, Jesus says, is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. And so if you want to know when it's getting close, if you want to know, if have we approached that kind of society that was, that God felt was so wicked that he had to wipe it out with worldwide flood, and to know that Jesus is coming soon, you better pay attention to the people and the flood of Noah. And that's what I want to talk about. Is because, folks, when you take a look at the Bible and what's going on right now, we are in the repeat of that society, which means the soon return of Jesus Christ, I believe, is around the corner.
Amen. It was a very, very wicked world. It was a very, very wicked society, and it is a wicked society we live in today. We'll be right back. Pastor Belli, go right ahead.
Well, and that's exactly right, Dr. Montes. It was a very wicked society. That's another key passage. So if you want to know what it's going to be like before Jesus comes back, go back and do your homework. And that's...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
That existed before the flood. But we never talk about that sort of thing, you see, because you are not supposed to believe that the Bible is accurate. And yet there was a society, it was a wicked society, and God destroyed that society, and then he started in all over again with Noah and his descendants. So pick up the story from there, Pastor Billy.
Well, Well, again, just to give you a little teaser, because, again, I'm getting ahead of myself, but just to realize, folks, you really need to get your hands on this, because this is information, just like some of the other topics we talked about, that is deliberately being kept from you. You're not going to find this in the textbooks, of course not, because you're going to put two and two together, that ultimately, you know what? Number one, the Bible is true. Number two, there really was a guy named Noah, which means there really was a time when God flooded this world because of sin. He judged this world once. And the Bible says he's going to do it again. And so then logically you would start to go, ooh, wait a second. If God did it once, and we see evidence for that all over the world, if he says he's going to do it a second time, I think we better take him serious. And they don't want you to come to that conclusion. They want to keep you in the dark. They want to usher you into the Antichrist kingdom that they're attempting to build. And the Bible warns about, okay? They want you to just scoff, not investigate the evidence, do anything. And so, again, we provide the homework and things for you. But to find underground cities, again, we have videos, and you can see that with your own eyes. We're not making this up. We find some of the high advanced technology. This is very interesting stuff. The Bible tells the exact opposite story of mankind in its history. The Bible says that when God created man, he created male and female, Adam and Eve, and that they were perfect from the start, okay? And not perfect just in form, being created in God's image, but also that means that everything was functioning. You know, we all have heard the axiom that we only use a small, minute portion of our brain. Well, back before sin entered the world, mankind was intelligent, extremely intelligent. And so if that's a biblical account, that clue, the days of Noah, if that's true, then we should find these guys were pretty smart. And that's exactly what we find, folks. We find buried in rock, buried at the bottom of the ocean, buried in coal. First of all, that's a whole other topic. How they get there? Well, worldwide flood would do that. But what they find is amazing artifacts. They find early forms of computers. I'm not making this up, and I didn't hit my head on the way to the interview tonight. Ancient forms of computers, folks, that they actually find. They actually find early technology of electricity and batteries, and we expose that as well. They find actually embedded, they find human, not just human remains, but human artifacts embedded in coal seams throughout the world, folks. They find gold chains. This is not something that somebody could have planted. This is embedded way down deep into the earth, embedded in coal. Human artifacts of gold chains. They find gold bells with like this pagan entity. We show you actual pictures, the actual videos. They find even things like dolls, little children's dolls and things embedded within the earth. And oftentimes when the evolutionists come across this material, you and I either don't hear about it, or if it gets leaked out, they use this word. It's one of their classic ones they always use. They say, well, that's an anomaly. Which really what I've learned, Dr. Monteith, is their fancy way of saying, hey, this doesn't fit our evolutionary model, and let's just turn the page real quick.
Because, you know, we have the writings about lost Atlantis. Certainly Plato wrote about this previous society, a very advanced society that was destroyed by a great flood. And certainly there is evidence, all sorts of physical evidence, that there was a society, an advanced society, that existed before the flood. And after, of course, the cataclysmic event of the flood would have created many of the things, the coal and other things we see, and so there would be the artifacts buried there. But go right ahead, Pastor.
Well, again, and this is why it's important. It's not only intriguing, it not only adds integrity and authority to the scriptural account that's mentioned in the Bible, but folks, you'd think if God's getting ready to judge the world, then he'd out of love, being a God of love, and he'd give us a heads up. He'd give us a fair warning. Well, he does. And that's why Jesus mentioned that of all people, the days of Noah. If you want to know what it's going to be like when it's getting close, you don't know the day nor the hour, but if it's getting close, you better do some homework and find out what was it like in the days of Noah. And again, that's what this whole study is about. It's an 11 DVD set, tons and tons and tons of information beyond a shadow of a doubt that God judges for. But also the Bible says that this is very important information for the second judgment. And so let me read to you, if you will, a parallel passage from Jesus, what I just read to you earlier, Matthew 24. 2 Peter 3 also talks about the last days, and it has to do with the time of Noah. He says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. And they're going to say, where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also the world at that time was deluged and destroyed. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. And so the Bible clearly tells us, folks,
Pastor Billy, you're there.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I thought the connection kicked out there.
No, go ahead.
But the Bible clearly tells us, folks, that God not only judged his creation once, he's going to do it again. The first time it was a worldwide flood. The second time it's going to be with the worldwide fire. Now, unfortunately, it says there that another clue to the last day society is these people are going to be scoffers. Okay? And I think a lot of people scoff at the biblical account because they just aren't familiar with the evidence, or the evidence is being kept with from them, and that's why we want to provide this information. But the text clearly says that these people are going to be willingly ignorant, okay, which I like, what, with all due respect, one guy's translation. What is that? I mean, stop and think what willingly ignorant means. It means dumb on purpose. And so you are literally, even though you're going to see the evidence before your eyes, you are literally going to turn the other direction. And frankly, folks, with all due respect, that's what many in the evolution community does. I mean, we've had reports of people when they go to certain digs and they find archaeological evidence that totally blows the evolutionary lie out of the water. Actual reports where evolutionists, when they try to, they bring them down to the archaeological site to show them this evidence that contradicts, like when they find human and dinosaur remains together, which blows everything out of the water from. We've got actual accounts, folks, where the evolutionists will literally turn their back on the site and won't even look at it. I mean, is that science? I don't think so. That's exactly what Peter said would happen. Those folks are being willingly ignorant. They don't want to believe in the biblical account. So what we start with on the study is just the whole premise. Just the, what's the premise? The premise is the worldwide flood. Did God really judge this world once by a flood? And therefore, should we listen to him when he says he's going to do it again? And the evidence, folks, is overwhelming. And again, it's not a local flood. Some people want to say that. This is happening on every corner, if you will, of the world. And so the first presupposition is, okay, right, fine. If there was a worldwide flood, a global catastrophe, okay, then you'd think we'd find some evidence of it. Well, that's what we provide, folks, is just, again, 11 DVDs of constant, consistent, scientific, geological evidence that this really happened.
What is the series called? What's the name of it?
The name of the study is called A Judged Creation.
The Judged Creation. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And anyway, so the first evidence that we see that you can trust the biblical account, and there was a flood of Noah, and that the mankind had a restart not that long ago, folks, had a restart. Basically, we're reduced down to 8 people who survived the flood. And the first evidence and the clue that we find that that's true is in the evidence of our language. Okay, this is very important. Right after the flood, okay, Genesis 6, 7, 8 there, in Genesis chapter 11, it talks about the society that got restarted right after the flood. And it gives us an interesting clue about that society. It says there in chapter 11, it says, now the whole world, this is after Noah got off the ark and they started to repopulate the earth, the whole world had one language and a common speech, okay? God told them to go, basically go spread out and repopulate the earth, and they disobeyed him. They wanted to build a tower, is what the text talks about. And so once again, they rebelled against God, which is amazing. You would think that a worldwide flood would get their attention, but no, once again, they rebelled against him. But the first clue there is, okay, was there really a flood? Did mankind really have a restart? Well, according to the Bible, it says at that restart point, everybody had one language. And so put it to the test. Is there any indication historically in mankind's records that we ever had a common language? Folks, it's beyond the shadow of a doubt. In fact, they have their own term for it. It's called the mother tongue. A couple of researchers, let me just share a few of them with you that we share in the study. Max Mueller, he's one of the world's top language experts. He taught at Oxford University. He wrote this in his book. This is a direct quote. It's called Science of Language. He wrote, "We have examined all possible forms which language can assume, and we can now ask, can we reconcile the admission of one common origin of human speech? I answer decidedly yes." One of the world's top experts. We had one common language at mankind's history. Dr. Harold Steigers, he's another linguist, and he says there are countless languages and dialects, approximately 3,000 currently known, continued studies have revealed there must be a common ancestor. Another Dutch scholar, his name's Gerard Alders, and he studied the languages, and he said there is, quote, a clear relationship between the languages of the native people in Central and South America, some of the islands, the ancient Sumerians, and the Egyptian languages. And he was a guy, this is what's important, he had formally considered the account of Genesis chapter 11 of the post-flood society to be an actual myth. But once he began to investigate the facts, he said, this is a direct quote, he came to the conclusion that the biblical narrative is much more credible than had been supposed.
So basically, of course, all the languages have a common origin, and basically then they would have spread out from some point. There was one language, and then, of course, the people, for one reason or another, suddenly had different languages. But how could that come about? Languages are complex. They don't just develop overnight, or do they? We're told, of course, at the time of the Temple of Babel, people began to speak different languages, couldn't communicate, and had to change their positions. Go right ahead, Pastor Billy.
Well, you know, it's very interesting that the perfect lead-in to the next point and evidence that we find, Dr. Monty, is that it's not only a point of a common language that we had, which agrees with the biblical account of the post...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden.
A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Have meaning. So pick the story up there, Pastor Billy.
Well, and let me give you some of the evidence. When you start looking at the picture words in the Chinese and what they depict, of all things, Dr. Monty, they talk about the Noah's flood. Absolutely amazing. Let me give you some examples. The Chinese word for boat, okay, remember it's like a picture word, it is depicted, get this, by eight mouths or eight people inside of a container. Okay, eight people who survived the flood. Noah and his family of seven. Do the math, that's eight inside of the ark. And so here's one of the earliest eight languages pretty close to the biblical time frame at the end of the flood. And what of all words, pictures that they used to describe for their word boat is eight mouths inside of a container. That's pretty interesting, folks. The Chinese word for total is a uniting of eight people, okay, who join hands over the earth. The word for empty in Chinese is made up of two words. It's made up of the word cave and work. Cave is depicted as eight people under one roof. And now, there's a pattern here. Eight people. Why eight people? Why not 800? Why not two? Why not six? Well, eight people survived the flood. But cave is depicted as eight people under one roof. And some would say that this shows that when Noah and his family left the ark, they first moved into a cave for shelter, hence eight people under one roof. And then they left the cave each day to work at emptying the ark, okay? And it made it into their word structure. That's where they get the word empty. Very interesting. The Chinese character for devil is formed from three other characters, man, garden, and private. And that's exactly the Genesis account in chapter 3, that man was put in the garden, and it was a private thing from God, and of course the devil came in and tempted Eve, and the rest is unfortunate history. The Chinese words for rebellion and confusion link together the words for tongue and walking. And that's exactly the Genesis 11 account, the Tower of Babel. The people rebelled against God. He confused their language, Babel. That's what the word means, where we get, you know, Babylon and on, blah, 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 blah. And it just so happens their words, rebellion and confusion, link together the words tongue and walking. Because after he confused their languages, they went walking and finally did what God told them to do in the first place and disperse and repopulate the world. Let me give you just one more example. There's many, many others. Finally, the word for garden in Chinese, or field, is a square. And inside the square are four straight lines radiating outward, kind of like in a plus sign shape. Now, what's interesting is, again, the Bible records in Genesis chapter 2 that there was a river in the Garden of Eden that flowed outward in four streams and watered the entire garden. And that's their word for garden. And so you see clues like this, Dr. Monteith, if people could, you know, be given the information, and make up your own mind. Why is it that some of the earliest forms of languages, first of all, that we not only see that we all came from one common language, like the Bible says, but some of the earliest forms of languages, of all things that they worked into their language structure, it talks about eight people in a boat in surviving this flood. It's absolutely amazing. I don't think that's by chance. I think that's a clue that, once again, you can trust what the Bible says. If God judges the world once, and he says he's going to do it a second time, just like Jesus said, you might want to pay attention. But another interesting thing that we provide is not only the language evidence, but the lineage evidence, okay? So if the flood of Noah really happened, mankind had a restart, that means that all of mankind, not that long ago, not millions of years ago, okay, but according to the biblical account, a couple thousand, 2,500, you know, years ago, roughly, when mankind had, 4,500 years ago, mankind had a restart, okay? So that means that all of humanity should be able to be retraced, not only from a single common language, a single point of origin, but a single parent, if you will, of origin. And folks, that's exactly what we find. In fact, one of the words that they give for is called mitochondrial Eve as in Adam and Eve. And it's now known, folks, that all of mankind can be traced back to just one woman. Now, here's the point. Okay, one woman, what do you do? It's one recent woman, okay? In a recent issue of Nature, okay, a Yale mathematician presented models showing that the most recent person who has a direct ancestor of all humans currently alive may have lived, listen, just a few thousand years ago, not millions of years ago. In fact, the woman's not most likely the biblical Eve, but rather one of the four women who survived the flood. And one researcher stated, maybe she was Shem's wife, Noah's one of his three sons. Maybe she was Shem's wife, but mitochondrial Shem's wife theory doesn't have the same ring to it. And you can crack all the jokes you want about it, folks, but why is it that we find that all of humanity came from one woman just a few thousand years ago, unless there really was a worldwide flood, and we're being lied to?
All right, will you hang on there? Our guest is Pastor Billy Crone. Fascinating information, and I hope you will hang on, because we'll be back in just a moment as Pastor Crone continues to expose the story of Noah's flood.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
But of course, the earth broke open and water came from the deep, and it was the combination of the rain and the water coming from the deep that flooded the earth. So, and but there are 500 accounts in different cultures of this great flood. Now, if that's true, why don't we hear about it? Because everything is done to try to make you doubt that this is really true. Basically, of course, I believe that the ark has been found. I've had all sorts of people write to me and tell me, oh, that really wasn't the ark, nothing, which just isn't true at all. I know other people have actually analyzed that the Turkish government has accepted the site as legitimate, and yet everything is done to actually discredit it. Why? Because they don't want you to believe that there really was a great flood, there was a guy named Noah, there was an ark, and that the biblical story is true. Because they certainly don't want you to believe that God is going to judge the earth again, only this time it will not be by water, it will be by fire. And of course, how in the world would you be able to judge the world by fire? Well, you never could have done this 100 years ago. But today we have nuclear weapons all throughout the world. Are we talking about a great nuclear war? Well, no one knows for certain. But there is the capacity today to spread fire throughout the world that has never existed before. Pastor Krohn, pick up the story.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. You know, you mentioned that as well, Dr. Monteith, about Noah's Ark. And again, later in the study, we produced just a whole DVD on evidence for Noah's Ark. And what a lot of people don't realize, it's not just some of the current sightings of the Ark that people want to scoff at, which, again, remember, the Bible says that that's exactly what people are going to do. They're going to scoff before they look at the evidence. And but we go back in history, and what most people don't realize is there's been many sightings of Noah's Ark and detailed accounts way back even in the days of the Roman culture. In fact, believe it or not, this is one of the things we exposed, and, again, I'm getting way ahead of myself, but you're on the topic, and much of the early society, even before Jesus Christ in his earthly incarnation, they looked at it as kind of like a, to use the vernacular, kind of like a cool vacation spot. And that, you know, hey, don't you know, you can go up there still today and you can go check out Noah's Ark. And that's how people in that society, in those societies back then, it was just common knowledge. Yeah, it's quite the trek, but you can go check it out. And we expose that in the records that you are, unfortunately, never going to find in the textbooks today. I agree with you, Dr. Monty. I think it's a side effect of this scoffing attitude that, again, Peter said was going to be a sign of the last days. And I think it's unfortunate. You could sit there and show the people the actual evidence of finding Noah's Ark, and they do exactly what that passage does. They're willingly ignorant. No? Okay. Yeah, so you just showed me actual pieces from the actual Ark of Noah. No, I still ain't going to buy it. And so it's like no matter what you do and how much evidence, they're still going to scoff. And it reminds me of the account in Luke 16 when Jesus talks about the Lazarus, the poor man, the beggar who went to be with the Lord, and then also the rich man in hell. And the rich man, he's begging with Abraham. He says, hey, please go send one of my family members. Let me go back and warn my family members that don't ever come to this place. This is real. You don't want to go here. And the account there, Jesus speaking, says, hey, listen, they got Moses and the prophets, i.e. they got the Bible. If they won't believe that, they're not even going to believe if somebody rises again from the dead. And that's what's unfortunate, is you can provide all this evidence, and the bulk of people will sit there and go, nah, that's too bad. Yeah, so what? That's the piece of Noah's Ark. I don't care. And that's what breaks their heart. But we want to give people a fighting chance, because it's one thing if somebody wants to deliberately do that. I think that there's a whole group of people out there, Dr. Monteith, who have never been confronted with this information. It's one thing of the evolutionary community that comes across this information, turns a blind eye and a deaf ear to it, and shoves it in a box. Okay, so we can't confront it and make up our own mind, but we're trying to get the facts out to the people who don't even get that opportunity. And again, but let me give you a couple more, a few more minutes, of some of the evidences of the cultures around the world that mention of the flood of Noah. I read to you earlier the Babylonian account, and it talks about clearly that it parallels with the biblical account. Ancient Chinese writing, and again, remember the Babylonian records and the Chinese records, this is some of the earliest cultures that we have on the planet. But the Chinese writings, they have a classic writing, and it talks about a violent catastrophe that occurred on the earth in the past. And that classic writing, one of them, is called Haiking, H-I-H-K-I-N-G. You can check it out yourself. And it tells of the story of a guy named Fuhai, F-U-H-I. And he is whom the Chinese consider to be the father of their civilization. Now, that classic records that Fuhai and his wife and three sons and three daughters escaped the Great Flood, the exact same number, and that he and his family were the only people left alive on the earth. And after the Great Flood, they repopulated the world, and in fact, perhaps an ancient temple in China, there's a wall painting that shows this Fuhai guy's boat. Okay, and the picture shows a boat in these raging waters, got some dolphins swimming around it, and a dove with an olive branch in its beak is flying back to the boat. Again, like the biblical account. Ancient records in India. Now, as I read through these folks, notice this is not just in one section of the world. This was not local. If it's a global account, a global flood, these are accounts that are coming in 500 different cultures around the world. This was not local at all, as some skeptics want to say. Ancient records in India. They talked about a man who they called Manu, M-A-N-U, and he was warned, they say, of a great flood that would soon come and destroy everything on the earth. And he was instructed to build a large ship, and since the flood was going to happen real soon, and then the rain started and the waters rose until the whole earth was covered with water. And when the waters began subsiding, his ship was left on a mountaintop. And according to the writings, again, here's the reason why. Mankind became proud. And this bothered, you know, the gods, as they did. And humans just kept getting worse, again, just like the Bible says. And finally, they decided they would destroy all the humans. But before they did this, they warned this guy, Manu, and his wife, and placed them in a large wooden chest. And the wooden chest, after it was over, came to rest on a mountain. The man and his wife got out and saw that everything was flooded. So they lived on the provisions from the chest until the water subsided, and they repopulated the earth. The Hawaiians, they have a legend. And it says, long after the death of the first man, the world became a wicked and terrible place to live. And again, notice how they all agree with the same account. They said, but there was one good man left. His name was Nuhu, is what they call it, pretty close to Nuhu. And he made a great canoe, and he had a house on it, and he filled it with animals. Excuse me. And the water came up all over the earth and killed all the people. Only Nuhu and his family were saved. Okay? Then there's a really interesting account that agrees not only with the biblical account of the pre-flood, but also the post-flood account. Listen, and this is in the Toltec Indians in ancient Mexico, the Toltec, okay? And they believe in their records and their histories, they share a story of the first world, okay, the days of Noah, the first world that they said lasted 1,716 years and was destroyed by a great flood that covered even the highest of mountains. And again, very close to the biblical time frame there. It's very interesting. And they tell of a story of a man named Tapi, T-A-P-I, and he was a very pious man, okay? And the Creator told Tapi to build a boat, and that he would live in that boat, and he would escape the destruction to come. And he was told, though, that he should take his wife, a pair of every animal that was alive, into his boat, and naturally, their account says, everyone thought he was crazy. But then, this is kind of interesting in the records, then the rain started and the flood came. And you know what, Dr. Montito, I'll just do a little insert here. Isn't that just the same thing that's going on today? You know, some, again, not to be dogmatic about it, but some people believe that that was part of the scoffing back in Noah's day, was that maybe it had not rained before the time of the flood. The earth was different, possibly had an extra layer of atmosphere, we go into that in the study, that produced the giantism, the long ages, and things of that nature. In fact, some of the scientific experiments to recreate that pre-flood atmosphere produces giantism today. We share with you the actual video evidence of the scientists who are trying to recreate that atmosphere. Very interesting. Answers a lot of questions. Increases lifespans, etc., blah, blah, blah. That's not just myth, folks. That can really happen. But what's interesting is how if in fact it never did rain before, because the Bible mentions that the earth was watered by a mist that came up from the ground. And again, not to get dogmatic, but if that's true, can you imagine Noah, first of all, building this huge, massive boat, okay, and then the Bible said for quite some time he was a preacher of righteousness. So most likely, obviously, he was warning people that a judgment is coming, and there's going to come this stuff from the sky, rain, that you've never seen before, and you need to get inside this boat in order to escape the destruction. And isn't that just like today? Again, being parallel with what Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be to come in the Son of Man. And here we say that, you know what, there's something you've never seen before. It's going to be Jesus and his second coming, okay? And he's going to come with a myriad of angels, and they're going to come through the sky. And so you need to get right with God. You need to get into safety, into the ark of Jesus, if you will, and before it's too late. And yet we have the same response. We have the same response from people that say, "Oh yeah, right, whatever. What are you talking about? You know, we've never seen anything like that." And how he must have been scoffed at. And that's exactly what they mentioned in their account. Everyone thought he was crazy in the Toltec Indians account. But then, as it says, the rain came and it started, and the flood came. But unfortunately, it was too late. And then it said the men and the animals, listen to this, tried to climb the mountain. And you were saying, well, why does the Bible mention that it covered the tops, even to the tops of the mountain? Well, in their account, they said, well, people were trying to escape, but they weren't going to escape. The time to enter into safety had passed, unfortunately. It said the men and animals tried to climb the mountains, but the mountains became flooded as well. Nobody was going to survive, only those who got in the ark of safety with Noah. And then their account says, finally the rain ended. Cappy decided that the water had dried up when he let loose the dove. Following the great flood, people began to multiply and built a very high great tower. Now again, folks, what is this doing embedded in the history of the ancient Toltec Indians? It's very interesting. Okay, and this is on the other side of the world, by the way, from Mesopotamian region. I mean, you know, how big is this knowledge? Okay, and it says they built a great tower to provide a safe place in case the world were ever destroyed again. However, they said in the records, everyone started to speak different languages, and the people became confused, exactly like the Genesis 11 account that we talked about earlier. And it says, so different language groups wandered to other parts of the world. Okay, and that's exactly what we see. Then they says the Toltecs themselves claim that they started as a people, as a culture, from a family of seven friends and their wives who spoke the same language. Okay, so they congregated together, they could understand each other. And they crossed great waters, okay, eventually apparently over the Atlantic, and lived in caves and wandered for 104 years until they came to southern Mexico. And this the story reports that this is about 520 years after the Great Flood. And now you're thinking, well, you had me up there until it says he crossed the Atlantic. Don't you know that Columbus was the first guy to sail across? Well, if you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you, and we could use the proceeds to help with the ministry. But, folks, it's now known, and not even Leif Erikson, and this is another thing that we exposed, Dr. Monteith, is, again, with the high advanced technology, after the flood, you had kind of like a Gilligan's Island scenario. Basically, you didn't have a hardware store anymore, so you had to basically reinvent. You still had the knowledge set. You were reduced down to eight people, but you still had the knowledge set. And so Noah's family, the eight people, they carried a lot of this high technology with them. And shortly after the flood, they had to rebuild society. Some of this technology stayed with them and eventually went for quite some time until eventually we slowly over time have either lost it completely up until today, or today we are rediscovering that technology. And when you start to take a look at the account after the flood, these people had the ability, folks, to traverse across the earth. Going across the oceans was nothing new. We find a pyramid, the same style of pyramid structures on either side of the continent. Okay, long before you have Columbus on the arrive on the scene. I mean, long before. You find statues of the Chinese people in South America. You find, and vice versa. You find different, and their statues. I mean, obviously, with their features, with their eyes, and you know, and things of that nature. Well, how did that get over in South America? You know, how did they even know what those people look like? Unless, of course, there was some traversing back and forth. And again, that's exactly what the Toltec Indians they mention in their account. In fact, of the 120 tribal groups, okay, cultures in North America, Central America, South America, every one of them mentioned flood tradition. And here's a summation of what they include, every one of them. There was a general wickedness among men. God saw that a flood was necessary. One family with eight members was protected. A giant boat was constructed. The family, along with animals and birds, went into the boat. The flood overwhelmed all those living on the earth. The deluge covered all the earth for a time. The boat landed in a high mountainous area. Two or three birds were sent out first. The people left the boat with all the animals. The survivors worshipped God for sparing them. And then a promise of divine favor was given that there would never be another worldwide flood of waters. So again, these accounts agree. They agree with the biblical account. And I think it's just common sense. I mean, if there really was a worldwide flood, if there really was a global catastrophe, then you would think that it would be recorded somewhere in the records of humanity, even outside the Bible. Well, folks, again, that's exactly what we find. That's what we share with you. You can make up, you can scoff all you want, but I just, please, get the information, make up your own mind. Maybe it's true, folks, that somebody's trying to keep the truth from you. And I would just encourage you, please, check out the facts yourself. And in fact, one researcher, Dr. Montee, says, so overwhelming is this evidence of a worldwide flood, okay, that it's one of the greatest records on evidence events in human history ever that is well verified. He says this, this is the direct quote. He says, there are many descriptions of the remarkable event called the Genesis flood. Some of these have come from Greek historians, some from Babylonian records. Others come from the cuneiform tablets of Mesopotamia, and still others from the mythology and traditions of different nations. So that we may, this is a direct quote, so that we may say that no event has occurred either in ancient or modern time about which there is more numerous records and better evidence than this one.
And if that is really true, then why don't we know about it? Well, very simply, we, in America, we have freedom of the press, and the press is totally controlled. The educational system is totally controlled. Many of our religious ceremonies are controlled by people from the other side. And the last thing they really want the public to know, you and your family to know, is that the Bible is true. That's why this tape set's going to be so important. We'll be carrying it. Once again, the title is it Judged Creation?
Yes, A Judged Creation.
All right, A Judged Creation. We'll be carrying this. We think it's vitally important. But in fact, I'm really looking forward to getting it. I think maybe we have it upstairs there, and we were looking at the wrong one. So hold off. But anyway, A Judged Creation. Is it really true? Can this be verified? I believe it can. Well, Pastor Billy, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, you know, just again for the listeners, I just encourage you, please check out the study. There's so much evidence.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine, so Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet, and we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy.
A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
And you'll hear more about that when we have Pastor Crone back again. Most of what you have been told is not true. Why? Because they don't want you to believe in the validity of the Scripture. So we will be carrying the Judge Creation is the title of this. Apparently it's 11 DVDs. We don't have it, but you can always call in 1-800-544-8927 and order it. We'll get in touch with you and let you know what it will be. We actually carry Pastor Billy's The Fearful Creation. That's the 8 DVD set. Excellent. We have is The Final Countdown, How Prophecy Today. That's a 10 DVD set. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. The talk you just heard tonight is the beginning of a Judged Creation, and of course that's a Judged Creation. That's 11 DVDs, and we'll have to get them ordered to have them on hand. We think all of these things are important. Why? Because you're going to have to be out there very quietly trying to get people to realize that the Bible is true. Now we have other things that you can do. Certainly you can go to the website, The Story of Jesus, and watch it, and then get others to watch it. There's another website we have. You can link to it on our website. How do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? You think you're saved? Are you absolutely certain in the Lord is going to come tomorrow? Are you absolutely certain where you'll spend eternity? We are involved in a spiritual battle. There are powerful forces that are suppressing the truth, and your job is to learn the truth and then to help us spread it. Now, Radio Liberty, my ministry, is primarily listener-supported. If you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. If you're not in a position to help, why? Because please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. If you agree with me that we are involved in a spiritual battle that's being played out on a political, ideological, cultural, financial, educational battlefield. And believe me, the enemy has permeated every aspect of society. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You should read or watch my DVD. There are three of them. They are all basically the same, but they're different as far as detail. But they all have the same basic message. We were involved in a spiritual battle. The secret, the forbidden secret, the dark secret, and the latter two have syllabuses which we think are important. You need to be able to check out what I tell you. You need to reread George Bush's inaugural addresses and determine what he was talking about. Who is the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs his storm? George W. Bush referred to that twice in his first inaugural address. And then he talked about the ancient plan, the plan of the ages, in his second inaugural address. When our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. That's what he said, with a little additional verbiage to confuse you, because that is what esoteric writings all about, or speaking. You always want to confuse people, so only the elect will understand. When our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. What's this new order of the ages? What's this ancient hope? Why, it's being carried out today. That's what this, all the fighting and killing over in the Middle East is. That's why our forces are in Libya. That's why our forces were bombing Yemen. The fulfillment of ancient prophecies. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for America. Pray for revival, our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Garth Nicholson, and we're going to be talking about more Jeldon's disease. And we had a program the other evening, very nice people, but there are a lot of people without a scientific background are trying to explain something that is real, but there's so much information out there we really don't know. And they're watertight, Jeldon's disease, and the government, secret government projects, and nanotechnology, and aerial spraying. But when you try to pin these things down, you end up with nothing but confusion. And when you try to say, well, what's the documentation? Where does the information come from? Well, it comes from researchers, but they're not using the scientific method. And so what we need to do is know what we do know, what we don't know. Lots of questions on this. But there's something here. And so listening to the program the other evening and coming away shaking my head and saying, I don't know what to believe. I went to Dr. Nicholson. I asked him to come on this evening and tell us what we know that is accurate, what we don't know, and, of course, the significance of this relatively new disease. Now, we seem to have lots of new diseases and disease conditions. Certainly, AIDS is a new disease, and Ebola is a new disease, and chronic fatigue, and certainly fibromyalgia, and Gulf War illness, and Lyme. They're all new diseases. But the question is, what is Jeldon's? Is Jeldon's a disease? Well, let's find out what Dr. Nicholson has to say. Guy, thanks very much for being with us tonight.
Hi, Stan. Glad to be with you.
Well, why don't you just pick up the story? Because I'm just trying to express my confusion. I think the confusion a lot of people feel about this. And certainly the last thing we want to do is put out information that isn't accurate. It's based only on conjecture. We want to know what we know, and then we want to know what we don't know.
Okay, well, let's start by asking the question, what is Jeldon's or Jeldon's disease or syndrome? And this is what we know about it. There are six different ways in which this has been described. That is, there's six characteristic signs and symptoms of Jeldon's disease. And this goes along with what the Jeldon's Research Foundation and our own institute has done on this. The first is that skin lesions are very prominent in this. You hear a lot about this, that these skin lesions are hive, pimple-like lesions. They seem to be, in some cases, synonymous with extruding fibers or little specks. Some of these are colored, some of them are black and white, and so on. And we don't know what this is due to or why this is occurring. Some of this has been debunked, some of this has turned out to be contamination, but others I'm not so sure. The second thing is that patients have a crawling sensation under the surface of their skin, and this is what really causes them to feel like there are insects crawling under their skin. And in there are three other components that are very important: fatigue, cognitive problems, and behavioral effects. And these kind of round out the major signs and symptoms, and we can continue on after your break.
Well, that sounds somewhat like the symptoms we see associated with chronic fatigue, you know, where they have the fatigue and the brain fog and the acidity.
Some of the symptoms are overlapping with it, and in many of the individuals that have these problems, half of them overlap with chronic fatigue.
Hold that thought. Go right ahead. So basically, speaking of the overlap between, at least in some respects, the overlap in symptoms between chronic fatigue and Morgellons disease.
The three that seem to be fairly unique are the presence in some patients of these fibers or little specks, the crawling sensations under the skin, although there are some chronic fatigue syndrome patients that have described this as well, and the skin lesion, which also occur in chronic fatigue syndrome, but not nearly as pronounced as in Morgellons disease. So these are the three which are most characteristic of Morgellons disease. Now, what this is caused by is really a subject of immense controversy at the moment. There's some people that claim that this is all a genetic engineered new type of infection. There's no evidence for that, by the way. It's a very complex infection. We're kind of thinking of it as an infection because of some of the characteristics and the way it spread. It may be a cutaneous infection, which is kind of an infection under the skin. And the infection appears to be complex because it has elements of bacteria, some properties of non-bacterial infections, such as fungal infections, and some properties of parasitic infections as well. So this makes it very complex. So the easiest way to think of this is that there are other elements that are involved. There are also bacterial infections that are involved, in some cases fungal infections, and possibly parasitic infections as well. Now that seems to be the easiest way to explain all of this, rather than one single type of infection. Now the reason we say that there may be multiple infections involved is that there is some response to, for example, antibiotics. If this was some new organism that was, say, insect-based, you wouldn't expect that it would necessarily be sensitive to antibiotics, which are used to suppress bacterial infections. But some of the symptoms are suppressed by antibiotics against infections that we know are present under the skin. And there are a number that are very common to chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia syndrome, so we know a lot about them. Things like mycoplasma, chlamydia, Borrelia, and these types of infections also cause cutaneous lesions, and they're also present in the skin, and they do cause some of the similar but not exactly the same sensations that are found in Morgellons disease. The important thing is the Morgellons disease is, number one, it's qualitatively different. There are these other three indicators that you don't really see very, very often in, let's say, chronic fatigue.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan in Sydney. Dr. Nicholson's basically saying that there are certain things that sort of overlap chronic fatigue. But certainly this seems to be a different entity. Do these patients have something wrong with their immune system? In other words, there's some immune deficiency in these people that makes them susceptible, because Dr. Nicholson says that these people will have multiple infections, very similar to what we see in chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, these multiple low-grade infections. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, and some of them do have characteristic problems with their immune systems that we see in many other chronic illnesses. So that in itself is not too unusual because you see those types of problems over and over. And our immune system, of course, is responsible for preventing the invasion and colonization of other organisms in our bodies, other microbes, for example, viruses, bacteria, fungal infections, parasites, and so on. But it's the situation is that some of these infections evade the immune system, and the parasites are very adept at evading the immune system, and so that may be one of the important elements of Morgellons disease that not much is known about, is the fact that there may be a parasitic element. And whenever there's a parasite, or if there's a parasitic portion of this, then the bacteria, viruses, and fungus and everything can go along with that, because often parasites carry these things along with them. So that may explain why there are all these other elements and all these other indicators of infection as well that go along with it. The other thing is that if this is a transmittable infectious disease, then you could see that if this affected the immune system, it would leave people wide open for opportunistic infections. And all the infections that I mentioned are quite opportunistic in the broad categories. And so they will colonize people whose immune systems are affected. And so that goes back to the immune system, which may be the reason why some people are more susceptible than others to these types of illnesses. So we've looked at this as a problem of potential infection, potential because it hasn't been proven. And so what should be done about it? Well, the first thing is hygiene is very important whenever you have an infection so you don't spread it around. So on our website at the Institute for Molecular Medicine, it's www.immed.org. If you look under the section on treatment, there is a document on Morgellons disease. And in that document, it explains some of the background that I've just been mentioning, some of the possible things that elements that may be involved. And it also describes some of the things that patients, if they have this, should be doing to prevent the spread of this illness to other individuals or even their pets. And so here are some of the elements that we've come up with. And this was done in collaboration with Morgellons patients, by the way. Patients, well, I won't mention by name, but given us a lot of feedback, it helped us understand what we were dealing with here. So some of the things that people have to do to keep it from spreading is mostly keep everything as clean as possible, including clothes, hair, body, and so on. Try and keep things as dry as possible because moisture tends to make the condition worse. There's certain types of the things which should be avoided, such as perfumes, acne products, and other skin treatments and so on. Other things that you should be doing on a daily basis to protect yourself and protect your pets and so on, and keep your habitable spaces as clean and free as possible from this if, in fact, there is a transmittable element to this disease. So we've gone through a number of different products that, you know, have helped people. Believe me, this is out of a list of 1,000 different things that have been tried on this. And so we've got a list of about 10 or a dozen things that have been used to more or less lower the severity of signs and symptoms, prevent the spread of this if it is transmittable, and to keeping your environment clean and healthy as possible. So I welcome people to go on our website and download that. It covers everything from how to keep your eyes and ears clean, for example, how to keep your hair clean and the proper products you should be using, the types of things that you should be using in your bath when you clean yourself, and the procedures that you should be using to treat your skin and try and keep this away from every possible way in which it might be spread. And the fact is that a lot of people don't understand this. They don't understand what's going on. And so they use a lot of wild products and wild stuff that probably does them no good at all. So at least we've gone through over 1,000 different products and tried to figure out which ones work and which ones don't work and so on and so forth. So there's some suggestions on that, which should help people. And if they're worried about
I just want to put out the website. It's immed.org. Is that right?
Yes.
It's the Institute for Molecular Medicine. So immed.org.
Just immediate.org. That's right. How we get people to remember it. Immediate.org. immed.org. And they should just go under treatment considerations, and they'll find this document on Morgellons disease. So the document explains, how to improve the severity or decrease the severity of this. And then it goes into some of the things that might be considered for actual treatment. Now, there is no cure for this. There is no satisfactory treatment for this. But some of the things that have been helpful for people are mentioned there. And it covers everything from diet to vitamins and minerals and immune enhancement and everything from lipid replacement therapy, which we use a lot of to replace the damaged lipids in our bodies, antibiotics, antifungals, natural remedies, and so on and so forth, and everything from pain and sleep medication, because people have a hard time sleeping with this condition. The types of things that they should avoid, like alcohol, caffeinated products, and excess sugar, and so on and so forth. And then things that get down to the nitty-gritty of that might be involved in this, like biofilm, for example. Now, biofilm is a biologic matrix, and in many instances, bacteria, fungus, and even parasites can hide in biomatrix, and they can actually evade the immune system, they can evade our biological responses against microbes and so on. And so the newer document that we're putting on will have some information on biofilm, natural ways to destruct the biofilm, and that may help people with some of these things. So,
this thing on the biofilm, is this some sort of a film that forms on tissues? Does it form around bacteria so that the body's response can't get to the bacteria or whatever the infectious agent is?
Yeah, both, actually. We have a lot of problems with, for example, bacteria that are resistant to drug treatment, and often these are found in these biofilms, hiding away from the drug treatments that can't seem to penetrate through the biofilm, and the immune system can't penetrate through the biofilms either. So the way to get around this is to dissolve the biofilms. Now, it turns out there are a number of different approaches to do this, and one of the ones that we've used is a very simple chelator called EDTA that actually breaks up the biofilm because they're held together by divalent cations like calcium ions and other things. And when you do that, when you chelate away or complex those divalent ions away, the biomatrix is kind of broken up a bit, and then your body can naturally remove it.
Now, this is the same product, the EDTA, that you would use to get rid of mercury and other heavy metals?
Exactly.
Okay.
And in fact, those may exacerbate the problem itself. If you have heavy metal contamination, for example, this could exacerbate the problem if you have Morgellons or any other chronic disease. We know that it plays a certain role in, for example, chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia syndrome and other chronic illnesses that varies from patient to patient, but these heavy metals can cause tremendous damage inside our bodies, and they can also be involved in biofilm formation, for example, and they can cause cognitive problems if they're in the central nervous system. So in many cases, we want to remove the heavy metals if they're found, and there are a number of ways in which they can be measured through hair samples, for example, through urine and body fluids, blood, and so on. But once the heavy metals are mobilized, they're generally released, and the blood levels will go up for a while before they go down. So it takes a long time to leach these things out of the body, so it's not a quick fix, more or less. This takes a long time to treat with these sort of biofilm busters or heavy metal removal agents like chelators. So this is not something that will happen overnight. It just takes a long time to do this. But that's something that we found can be useful. And, of course, it causes a tremendous Herxheimer reaction in patients that take, for example, EDTA suppository. And that I anticipate is due to the fact that the immune system is just jacked up completely when the biofilm is broken down, and if these infectious agents are present, they're exposed to the immune system, and the body's responses just go haywire, and that leads to a lot of different elements that we collectively call a Herxheimer reaction.
Well, now, basically, the EDTA, I know some people think this, it's venously, can this be used transdermally as the best method by rectal suppositories? What's the best way to get the EDTA into a patient?
Well, we've used the rectal suppository route because that maintains the blood levels fairly constant for a day or more, and it comes up gradually and then stays level. So intravenous causes a spike in EDTA, and that's, you know, we want to avoid that if possible. And taking oral EDTA is not very effective because it doesn't really penetrate that well through the GI system, although a small amount of it does get in that way.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. So basically, Chris, what you're saying is...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Fibers are falling off, firing off, and that's why people get this crawling sensation. But he said that, you know, if you open up the skin lesions and examine them carefully, And Chris, this is where the bristles come in, the little hairs come from. What do they find, and what about these hairs? Why would they be, what's putting out the hairs, and what's in the hairs? But is there any evidence when they open the lesions that there's some sort of a parasite there?
Well, this is one of the things that has been very difficult to prove. But there are apparently remnants of parasitic bodies in there. One of the remnants is what's known as a dart or a hook that parasites, a wide variety of different parasites, use to attach themselves to tissues. And these are tiny little fibrous things which have barb-like structures. And the interesting thing about them is that, and I'm speculating now, so I've got to keep that clear from what's known, is that these may contain a chitinous material, which are very common, of course, as the exoskeleton of insects, which may be why people get the idea that these are insects in nature. There may be something to that, but there's just not enough known about that. So parasites, many of them, have these little hook-like structures that are made of different types of materials that they use to attach themselves, and this may be one of the telltale signs of that there's really something there in these people besides their imagination. So I think in the future research, the particularly people that are investigating this much more intensely than we are, will hopefully get evidence for or against it. At the moment, it's kind of in the realm of speculation, but there is some preliminary evidence that there really is something to this.
All right, well then, what are these hairs or these fibers? You know, and I've talked with people, and the people who are really consumed with this and have the disease, and they all have these little microscopes, and they look underneath there, and they tell me about the red fibers and the blue fibers and the green fibers, and they can see all these fibers, and they say, well, how do you know they're just not lit or something? And oh no, we know this, they're from there, and the particles, and but they're not trained, in this. They're looking for something. You can see something there, but what do we know about the fibers for sure?
Well, there's a lot of confusion about the fibers, where they come from. In many cases, these are things that contaminate the wounds that form from the skin lesions. And this can, that's why when people have superficially looked at these, they think, well, these are just really, small cotton fibers or nylon fibers or whatever, depending upon what the people have contacted in terms of clothing and so on. But I think it's more complex than that. And I think that if you not look at the surface of the skin, but actually start to look in the skin itself, that's where you find some unusual things that might make a lot more sense than what's found at the surface. The surfaces can always be contaminated with a variety of things, but if you look in the skin itself, then that's more meaningful. And that's where these sort of barbs or dart-like structures come from. They come from in the skin. And there are also things that have been removed from the skin surface, web-like structures and so on, that may be part of this biomatrix material that I was discussing before. And so that's something that's not normally present on skin, and it shouldn't be there, but it's there because it's put out by these possible parasitic bacterial fungal infections that are present in the skin. So we're a long way from figuring out what Morgellons disease really is, but I think we're getting a little bit closer as time goes on, and so this is now something that shouldn't be dismissed. Now, physicians up until very recently have dismissed Morgellons disease as delusional, that these patients just all in their minds, they don't know what they're talking about, and I hate to put patients in that category, because often we found in the past that patients really did know what they were talking about, they just didn't know how to describe it, and so they used terms that most physicians would just discount as crazy, somebody's out of their mind, but in fact there is a certain element of truth in everything that they have to say about it.
Well, we talked to a very nice lady the other morning. She's had this for 20 years. It's just consumed her life. And she suddenly is trying to figure out what this is. And, you know, she's doesn't believe it's infectious, or certainly her husband hasn't gotten it after 20 years. But, you know, she believes there's some sort of fibers there. But as with so many people, she's so close to this, it's so very hard for, I think, to be totally objective. I think this is why we need scientific studies. And, well, we're going to be back here in a minute. If you have a question, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Do we have any idea how prevalent this disease is?
No, I don't think we do. Again, it really hasn't been studied in that much detail to know its prevalence. There are isolated pockets of people that seem to have this, and it seems to be more prevalent in southern and western states. So, for example, Florida, Oklahoma, Texas, California, place like this. So it seems to be present in warmer areas, which again suggests that there might be something to this if it's parasitic in nature. Now, I'm saying that as a hypothesis at this point, because there is no evidence yet that this is connected to a parasite, or some of these other infections may be, in fact, opportunistic in patients that have immune problems. So we don't know that they go along with the disease at all. But it's certainly complex, and we know that these complex chronic illnesses like chronic fatigue syndrome, they do have a lot of infections, both viral and bacterial, that are present in almost every, if not every, patient that has the syndrome. So as we know, things are called syndromes if you really don't have a good explanation for it. But often these complex illnesses have multiple explanations, and that's part of the problem in describing them, characterizing them, and actually treating them, is that because of all these different elements, they're very complex, and that's where we are with this particular problem.
Well, now, does diet play a part? In other words, will an adequate diet suddenly change your eating habits, going over predominantly to the vegetable diet? Well, will this play a part in improving the immune system and improving the patient's response?
We suggest in our instructions for people that they need to be concerned with their diet. And they need to remove things like, processed food and chemicals that they get in a diet, a modern diet, and things like high sugar diets, which are very bad for the immune system.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest is Dr. Garth Nicholson. We're talking about Magellan's disease, and certainly we don't know how prevalent it is. We don't know what causes it. There's all sorts of conjecture on this. Dr. Nicholson was saying that there's certain things in common with the chronic fatigue. They all seem to have the same defect in the immune system, and certainly what you want to do is build up the immune response to this, because many of the people with Magellan's will have multiple other infections, clinical infections that are totally disabling. Well, before we go on, one more time, let's get your website out there so people can go, because Dr. Nicholson has an area there with suggestions. No promise of cure, just the suggestions of the things that have seemed to have helped other people. And how can people get to your website and get that information?
The Institute for Molecular Medicine is www.immed.org. media.org. It's like a media.org. And there they can find a lot of information about chronic illnesses in general. And there is a document on Magellan's disease on our website that people can download and take a look at it.
And I've been up on the internet and going looking up Magellan's disease, and by the time I got done, I was more confused than when I got started. We have Andrew calling from Seattle. We'll get to Andrew in just a minute. And our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But just during the break there, I was asking Dr. Nicholson, what about diet? How important is diet, and how would they approach it? And of course, he was mentioning avoid sugar. What about this product called Just Like Sugar? It's made from chicory. It apparently can granular, and it's quite sweet. Would something like that be beneficial, or should they?
Well, you know, there are a lot of products. Everything from stevia to different types of carbohydrates that aren't recognized like our normal sugars are, and so on. So there are a lot of different ways to do this, but the simplest thing to do is to cut down on added sugar. Sugar is unfortunately added to everything in our diet these days, so it's very hard, in fact, to actually go in a store and find products off the shelf that don't contain a lot of sugar. So it's I think it's incumbent on people in general, and particularly if they have chronic illnesses, to improve their diet. So we discuss diet. In fact, there's a publication on diet on our website if people want to take a look at that. But what we're stressing in that is to get people away from the processed food and the raw sugars and things like that, and to get more into a balanced diet, more vegetables and so on and so forth, more protein. And that sort of thing that dietitians have been stressing for a long time. So it's not really anything that's new, although we now know that in chronic illnesses, people are, we tell people they're not going to get well until they first change their diet. So that's the first thing. Now, the next thing is that people require a lot of vitamins and minerals. In fact, their immune systems require a lot of vitamins and minerals. And chronic illness patients are often deficient in, for example, vitamin B complex. And a lot of other different things. So they need to replenish that, and there's some advice on a website on how to do that, or in general where to do that. The next thing that they should do, they should take things like probiotics for their digestive system. And this can help people in their general health, not so much specific to Morgellons disease, but in chronic illnesses in general. This is beneficial. We discussed some of the immune enhancement components and so on, and there are a long list of possibilities there, and I won't go into any detail on that, but that's basically to build people's immune systems up so that they can withstand the onslaught of all these different chronic infections that are out there. I personally like lipid replacement therapy, that kind of coined that name, because the energy systems in our cells are affected in every chronic illness. And so this is a way to replace the membrane phospholipids in the mitochondria and in the nerve membranes. And by the way, the nerve membranes are very important in Morgellons disease because they get a lot of these painful and tingling feelings and so on because of nerve bundle firing under the skin. And so on. So the nerve membranes are very important. This helps repair the damage that has been done and so on. So there are a number of different ways in which people can improve their systems that help withstand not only the chronic illnesses, but some of the things that go along with it as well.
All right, fine. We've got Andrew calling from Seattle. And if you're out there across America and you have a question on this condition, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Andrew. How are you listening to us or hearing us?
I'm over the internet.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm a person with Lyme, and it's no picnic. I could tell you that it's pretty rough, but it's more killing, sounds much worse. Glad I don't have that. But my question is, I have used ozone, and it has been somewhat helpful. Have they had any use of ozone or ultraviolet to the blood in people with Morgellons?
I don't know if that's actually been used in Morgellons patients or not. On our website, particularly on our treatment advice, there's a section on oxidative therapy because essentially ozone therapy is oxidative therapy. Other forms of oxidative treatment are hyperbaric oxygen, for example. Some people have even used very low-dose hydrogen peroxide, although you have to be really careful with things like that because a lot of people react violently to things like that, particularly if they're administered intravenously. So there are different ways in which oxygen therapy has been used, and it seems to be helpful for people that have Morgellons disease. It's not a cure, but it does seem to help with some of their symptoms.
Is there any benefit at all from taking oral hydrogen peroxide? I know some people do that. Is there any help from that?
Well, it can, well, particularly for oral infections, it's useful, and people, some people swear by it, although the best way that this has been administered is by very careful, that is under a physician's direct and constant care, intravenous administration of very low doses of hydrogen peroxide. This can be an incredibly potent a suppressant of chronic infections and parasites and so on. The problem is, though, that you can go overboard on these sorts of things. So some of the ways that, for example, ozone treatment of blood, hydrogen peroxide treatment of blood and so on, that has to be done very, very carefully under a qualified physician who's had a lot of experience in doing these procedures because it can be very dangerous.
And I really would caution people, there are doctors who know how to do this, but you just don't want to go to anybody down the block. Andrew, does that answer your question at all?
Yes, there's
a place for oxygen therapy, but it has to be done under close supervision.
Yeah, it's one other thing Dr. Nichols mentioned was the use of EDTA. I was concerned because I read pretty often that EDTA crosses the blood-brain barrier, and in a case like this, that makes things more risky.
Well, EDTA has been used intravenously to remove heavy metals from the central nervous system, and it will mobilize it very slowly. There are other chelators that have been used as well. I'm not going to go into it in any detail because it gets quite technical, but all these chelators have one thing in common. They form a cage-like structure around heavy metals and remove them from the sites where they're embedded in various compartments in the cell. And, of course, the central nervous system is one compartment that's very difficult to mobilize and take things out of and excrete them through our normal ways. We excrete them in the urine, in the feces, and so on, and also through the skin. We actually excrete a lot of materials through our skin, which is one reason why we suggest for a lot of people that have chemical contamination that they undergo dry saunas two or three times a week repeatedly because you can sweat a lot of materials out through the skin. So all of these things can be removed through these different methods if they're properly mobilized. Again, it's one of those things that has to be done carefully because people can react very severely to these sort of chelation approaches to removing heavy metals and destroying, the bio matrix materials that we call biofilm. All of this, can actually mobilize not only infectious agents, but metals and other things as well. So we have to be a bit careful about it.
Okay, Andrew, anything else before we let you go?
That was it. Thank you.
God bless, and thanks very much. And of course, Andrew has Lyme disease, and this is another of these diseases associated with these multiple chronic infections that plague so many people, and unfortunately, most doctors don't recognize them. They do a blood test, and if it's for Lyme, if it's negative, why, they go on to some other disease, whereas an awful lot of the blood tests for Lyme seem to be negative. Is that true, Dr. Nicholson?
Well, yes, because these are intracellular infections. Lyme Borrelia, which is the spirochete in the Lyme, but also most of Lyme patients have mycoplasma, for example. They have Bartonella, Babesia, Ehrlichia. They have a number of other, anaplasia, a number of other bacterial and parasite infections. And so that's why Lyme, in some respects, is somewhat similar to Morgellons because of all these different types of infections that have been found associated with it. And in fact, people have told me that, well, you know, Lyme patients seem to be at higher risk to getting things like Morgellons. I just don't know if that's true or not. I don't think epidemiologists have really looked at this very carefully, so we don't know if that's true. But there are people that have both Lyme's and Morgellons disease. So we know that with Lyme, you have all these other co-infections, and so the same thing seems to be true with Morgellons patients as well, but it really hasn't been investigated in enough detail to know if they have all the different types of co-infections that are found in Lyme or not.
Okay, fine. Well, I'll telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We got Ed calling from New Hartford, New York. Hi, Ed. How are you doing? Are you listening on the radio station there or by internet?
Oh, I'm listening to the radio. This is on WGIV.
Okay, fine. That's upstate New York. So, do you have a question or comment?
Well, I have a comment. I have a friend. Well, I should say it was. I haven't been in contact with her for a number of years. I can't remember. 3 or 4 years, I guess, now. But her name is Candy Griffin, and she has had Morgellons disease, and she is a nurse who has made a study of this, and she had it, she had these like fibers coming out of her skin and her face, and she's known other people who've had them coming out of their cuticles and their fingernails, and anyway, she has taken the fibers that she has had or whatever she's had and put them under a microscope, and she has put them on a website, and I think it's under her name. I can't remember now. I've been trying to find out what the website was, but anyway, she is at she was a nurse at the Citron Home, which is in New Hartford.
Okay, fine. Well, thank you so much. I certainly wish, Dr. Nicholson, has anybody actually analyzed, I mean, chemically or in any way studied these fibers as such? Do we know?
Well, I don't know if people have really studied them in any detail. There's very minute amounts of material that recovered this way. You can look at them through a microscope. You can look at some of these little things, but analyzing them chemically and biochemically is a lot more difficult than that. I think ultimately they will be ascertained as to what the composition happens to be of these things, at least the ones that are truly coming from under the skin and are not contaminants that are sticking to lesions in the skin. I don't doubt that there are things that are coming out of it being extruded from the skin. I just say that a lot of people have picked stuff off of the wounds from their skin, and they've tried to look at those and analyze them, and they find out that they're just contaminants, and they're normal everyday clothing fibers and dust things and whatever that are floating around. So we have to distinguish between that and things that are actually being extruded from the skin.
And the thing is that the people who have this disease are consumed with it. So many of them do have the microscopes, and so it's how do you know whether this is a fiber that's coming out or whether this is something contaminated on the skin? Ed, we're going to have a lot more work to do. Fortunately, our people are looking into it. I just hope their information will be widely publicized. Hey, Ed, thank you so very much for calling. Anything else you wanted to say?
Well, that was all, but her name is K-A-N-D-Y.
All right, Candy. Anybody goes up on the internet, look up Candy, Morgellons disease,
well,
fibers, and probably yeah. We can track them down. Thank you so very much for calling. And right now, of course, somebody called in, asked about the use of colloidal silver. Is there any place for that in this sort of thing, in chronic infection?
Well, we don't know. Colloidal silver is effective superficially for infections. It may be useful, for example, as a topical agent in the skin. We know in the sinuses as a topical agent, it's effective. As an oral agent, it's effective. I have my doubts as a systemic approach to treating some of the chronic infections that go along with this.
I'm always a little worried because it is essentially heavy metal, and I know some people swear by it. I've just never felt comfortable, you know, recommending it. Do you feel the same way?
Well, rightfully so, because you can accumulate these silver granules, and people that have taken this, ingested it to long term, their skin almost turns into a gray pallor from the silver accumulating in the skin. So it will accumulate in the tissues, and that may not be good for long-term health.
That's Argyria. You know? Well, anyway, let's go to Connor calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Connor. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I'd like to ask the gentleman. It was the other day that I was really listening very intensely to the gentleman that spoke about Morgellons disease, and also that you've been talking, Dr. Stan, very much about how that the aluminum is being from the chemtrails in the air that comes, and they're trying to create their own atmosphere to stop the sun's rays. My point is that when the aluminum comes down and we breathe it in, is there any way that we could get that out of our bodies by urinating it out or sweating it out?
You hold on. We'll certainly ask Dr. Nicholson when we get back here.
Okay, yes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Dr. Garth Nicholson, and there seems to be some evidence that there is certainly...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. many decades.
Something, some basis to it. And what it is, we just don't understand at the moment. It seems to be a complex problem. There seems to be infectious elements and also other elements that are involved in this process of Morgellons disease. I think in time we'll find out exactly what these are and how to specifically treat them. In the meantime, they can go to our website at the Institute for Molecular Medicine, www.immed.org, and they can read about this and other chronic illnesses and what we've done to try and help patients with these problems.
And at least there is some place you can get reliable information, and certainly, hopefully, Dr. Nicholson will be with us again here another year. We can talk about this specific subject. God
bless. Morgellons Disease Foundation is another place where people can go. They can do a little search on their computer, and it'll come up. I forgot the website, but the Morgellons Disease Foundation has done a great deal in trying to assemble the various elements and the various signs and symptoms and categories of Morgellons disease.
Thank you so very much. Appreciate you staying up to late tonight to be with us. Bye-bye.
No,
God bless. Okay, that was Dr. Garth Nicholson. And certainly it's important that we understand that we need to approach it scientifically. All the people who have this disease, I mean, it just consumes their whole life. I mean, itching and crawling, and they all have microscopes, and they see all sorts of things. But there's no way to analyze what you see. You see something, but you're not sure what you're seeing. And so our job is to try to get people to think. And we do our best, and we try to provide the best information we can. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're in a position to help us, why, we'd love to hear from you by telephone number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And then, of course, we hope that you'll go to our webpage and go down the homepage and see the websites on the story of Jesus, the website on how do you know you're saved. And those are the two very important websites, because indeed we are involved in a spiritual battle being carried out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. Basically, of course, chronic fatigue and Lyme and fibromyalgia and Gulf War illness all overlap. And certainly it sounds like Morgellons is a kissing cousin to this. It seems to have many of the same symptoms and many of the same immunodeficiencies. And we know that they've been working with us. How do we know? Well, because we have the book written by Zygmunt Brzezinski back in 1970 called Between Two Ages. And at the bottom of page 57, he makes the statement that by 2018, why we will be able to create these new chronic diseases, also storms and droughts, but chronic diseases. And very few people in government need to know. In other words, we're going to have these, it's going to be a secret, and they will plague the enemy, and then we can control the enemy, talking about other nations. But are these being used on our people? Did they get loose by accident? Is relationship between Plum Island, the experimental government laboratory there close to Lyme, Connecticut, and Lyme disease that now plagues several million people and is so similar to chronic fatigue that plagues several million people? I don't know, but there's certainly reason to conjecture. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Our provision and protection.
Let us all be grateful.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.